Fresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM WMIE, today's Modern Worship. You have found the Refresh Radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God on 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. And we would love to invite you out to our services. And we're praying that each week we grow closer and closer to getting back to a routine schedule. I don't want to say go back to where we were. I want to get back to capacity, but I really want our future to look better and brighter and more transformed for the glory of God than what it was beforehand. So we are actually pressing ahead at this time. We've got things in the pipeline that we are pressing forward with, and so if you would like to come and be a part of what God is doing there, we want to invite you out to our services, 165 North Grove Street. We're meeting on Sunday night or Sunday morning. We're not doing Sunday night. Sunday morning, we got Sunday school at 9:30. Sunday morning worship at 10:30, and you know, I'm not sure exactly when we're going to resume the children's ministry yet. We've been moving a little slower in that category, and that's by intention. But we're back to a traditional Wednesday night format. We can do the adult Bible study there without any complications there. So we will not be live streaming our Wednesday night services any further at this point in time. But we'd love to have you come and be a part of this process as we move step by step closer to what our new normal will be in the days ahead. I mentioned a verse yesterday, and I knew what chapter it was in. I was having a difficult time in a rush identifying the verse out of all of the words on the page here. Where I was talking about Ezra and his attitude toward the Word of God. And so I thought I would read that verse to you today. I did get the three characteristics correct, and it says that this is Ezra chapter 7, verse number 10, and it said, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." So he prepared his heart to study the law of the Lord, to practice the law of the Lord, and to teach it. A lot of times we study it to teach it, and we forget that implementation aspect. And we can't afford to do that. That breaks down. You know, we lose credibility whenever we are teaching something that we are not practicing. If we are teaching but we haven't studied, and we're practicing what we're teaching but we haven't studied, we are subject to a breakdown in that area because we could be doing something that doesn't line up with the Word of God. I know because I've been there. It wasn't egregious. It was, you know, something that I said, you know, I feel like this is God, and then it didn't turn out to be God. And then I, like David, went back to the Word of God and said, oh, that's why there was an aspect of that I was unaware of, and so I didn't get the result that I wanted to do or wanted to have. And so if we study the law and we practice the law, but we don't teach the law, then the lifespan of what we have gained from our study is going to be very short-lived. It's not going to impact others. Everything that God deposits inside of us is meant to pass on to other people. It must be distributed. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23, when we are celebrating communion, Paul says, "For that which I received from the Lord, I have passed on to you." And that is what we are supposed to do. We're supposed to hear from God. We're supposed to practice it. And we are supposed to distribute it to other people. And so as we were talking yesterday about Proverbs chapter 6, I wanted to give you the exact reference there so that you didn't think I was just making it up out of my head. That's where that is. Today we're going to go back to Proverbs chapter 6, and we're going to look at his at this other aspect of which we are to deliver ourselves. We have read down through verse number verse number 23. So let's begin reading at verse number 20, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20, and we'll go down to verse number 29 again. "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life." And so we are supposed to be delivered from a lack of direction, delivered from darkness. And then we move into verse number 24, and it says, "To keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress, do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his life. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent." So let me address verse number 27 and 28 for just a moment, because those are what are known as rhetorical questions. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? The answer to those questions is no, he cannot do that. And you say, well, I know people who can do that. They can walk on things that are very, very hot and it not impact them. But I want you to understand, this is not a passage that is saying there is no one on planet Earth that can ever train himself to be able to do this and not accomplish it. There may be somebody. This is not talking about the exception. This is talking about the average, ordinary person. And the reality is this: if you have fire that's burning in your lap, there's a good chance that it's not going to stay isolated. It's not just going to touch the area that you think you have it contained and controlled in. Are you going to be able to walk on something that is designed to do damage to you? And the answer to that question is no. It is going to alter your physiology. You will come away with burns on your feet. You will come away not being able to mobilize. It will be an incapacitating type of act. That act, the event, is going to have a longer lasting impact on your life. There are going to be consequences that you deal with for a much longer period of time. By the time you get through, you're not even going to remember the event anymore. And so I know that there are some people who train themselves to be able to do stuff like this, but I want you to understand that Solomon isn't saying that. He's talking about the average ordinary person is going to suffer many times irreparable harm if they choose to embrace things that are designed by the devil to harm you. Don't be a victim. Okay, so here we have talked about to live a focused life, a directed life, to live a life that is delivered from darkness. And so whenever you are operating in with those paradigms, with those boundaries in your life, it becomes much easier to deal with temptation. If you look at a situation and say, you know what, this temptation does not fit with the call of God upon my life. It doesn't fit with the direction of my life that I'm going. And so therefore, it is not enticing to me. It is a distraction rather than a temptation. I don't want to have anything to do with it. And if you say, you know what, there's something lurking over in the darkness over there. And, you know, if you have ever encountered palmetto bugs or roaches or mice or anything like that, you turn the light on and they start scurrying because they thrive in darkness, not in the light. The same is true with dealing with temptation. If when it is brought to full exposure, if it will not bear or will not stand up to the scrutiny of God's word, then it is something that you need to be avoiding. I had a person one time, and they said, you know, I had been toying with this particular business venture that I was contemplating, and then I realized, you know what, that business is not going to bring glory and honor to God. And so I set that business venture aside because I don't want to do anything that is not going to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those two things become boundaries. They become like if you've had your property appraised, they go out and they find the boundary marker and they put a flag there and they say, this is where your property ends or where your property begins. And so you don't want anything on the wrong side of that property. The same thing happens when we're talking about this wisdom and the ability to be delivered. It operates as a restraining force that is going to bring us more power, but it is also going to deliver us from those things that are trying to diminish or distract us or prevent us from doing what we're supposed to be doing. And so then it moves into the area of relationships that are not of a godly nature. And you say, haven't we talked about this already? Yes. Well, why are we talking about it again? Because it's still a huge problem in society. It hasn't gotten any better. You know, I saw something during the quarantine where there was a reporter who was filing a news story that he was doing from home where he was quote unquote self-isolating until there was a person that walked by that was not appropriately attired, and it wasn't his wife. It wasn't his publicly known girlfriend. It's still going on. There is still immorality that is pervasive in our society. And since we're talking about deliverance, we need to be delivered from the destruction, because that is the end result of all of this. So it says to keep you from the evil woman, to keep you from the evil woman. And so you and I, we need to recognize that not all people are created equal in their relationship to God. Some people do not have attitudes that are going to build you up spiritually. Some people want to tear you down spiritually. Everybody reads the story of Samson and Delilah, and they want to scream to Samson, Samson, what are you doing? Don't you realize that she's actually seeking to enrich herself off of you. She's looking to destroy you. And when she's done with you, you're going to be left damaged and she's going to be enriched. Everybody, I mean, you read it and you say, how could you do that? You know, you're one of the most powerful and influential people in all of Israel at that point in time, and you can't see what is going on. You can see enough power in the jawbone of a donkey to defeat a Philistine army, but you can't see a threat that is veiled in a dress. And everybody says, Samson, stop it. And yet those same people will get up after hearing a story like that, and they will go and they will find that there's not only Delilah's, there's Potiphar's wives, where she was looking for some extracurricular activity with Joseph, and she compromised him. He ended up in jail, and she ended up, you know, moving on to her next victim. You need the, I will say this, the most important aspect about a personal relationship, that whether you're talking about marriage, whether it's you're talking about being in business together with someone, is you have to make sure that you're dealing with people who operate with godly integrity, that love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. We put way too much importance on appearance. We put way too much importance on power and influence and wealth and celebrity and fame. We put way too much influence on that, because all of those things change. But a person who is seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness is only going to have other things added to them. We need to make sure the first item on a checklist when you're saying, is this a relationship that I can pursue, that I could be comfortable with, is what is their relationship with God? What is my relationship with God? And is this relationship going, does it look like an intersection where people are crossing paths, or does it look like two highways that are coming together to become a superhighway? Because if you realize they don't have the same level of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that I've got, I guarantee you there are going to be more bumps in that road than any other road. I had a person at one point in time, and they came to me and they said, my marriage was one of the biggest mistakes in my life. I had no business marrying an unbeliever. It wasn't me that did the marriage. They just came, and I didn't know them. I still don't know. I don't know their name. They just walked up to me. They knew I was the pastor, and they said, that was one of the biggest mistakes I ever made in my life. And so if we will cherish the word of God, if we will walk closely with it, if we will walk in the with the ability to allow the word of God to shine light on something, to expose it, even if it is something that is unpleasant to us, then we'll be able to go forward. There was a time before my wife and I got married. We're just a few days away from our wedding anniversary, and there was a time where we were dating, and God shone his light on a passion that my wife had in her life. She had a passion for missions. Well, I had a passion for pastoring, and God simply asked me this question: how's that going to work? How's that going to work? If she's being pulled to the mission field and you're being pulled into pastoring, how is that going to work? He didn't say it wasn't going to work. He said, how is that going to work? And so I evaluated it and said, look, God has me on this path. He's had me on this path all my life. And we're going to need to focus on our relationship with God. And so we ended our relationship at that point in time. It was very early in our dating process. She was mad. I was not happy. And God, you know, after a couple of days, he began to share with me. He said, "Now that I've seen that I am more important to you than she is, you can have her back. You can reengage in that relationship." Because I mean, when I said I was done, I was done. And I was miserable. She was miserable. But you know, we wanted God's will for our lives more than anything. And the thing is, God had already spoken to us. So we were just at a point of lack of understanding. You know what we had never heard of before? We had never heard of the term of missions pastors. And so I'd grown up in a church, started small, ended up big. Her church was much smaller than the church that I came from. And then the churches that we ended up serving in were smaller and smaller. And when we came to Merit Assembly of God, we became the home missions pastor of Merit Assembly of God. It was a district revitalization effort. And all of a sudden, you know, people were coming and saying, "Wow, y'all are living like missionaries." I said, "Yeah, that was talking to my wife." And so what we didn't realize was that there was a path that God put us together. And there were people originally when we started dating that they thought that my wife just didn't have what it took for ministry. And I will tell you that my wife is phenomenal. She is phenomenal as a pastor's wife, as a ministry to women, to young ladies, to young people. There has not been anything in the history of our ministry that she said, "You know, I just can't do that." She's worked a graveyard shift in order to make ministry possible. She went out and got a full-time job so that we could make full-time ministry a possibility at Merit Assembly of God. My wife had much more inside of her than what other people realized. But if you've got somebody who doesn't love Jesus, I don't care how gifted they are. I don't care how talented they are, how popular or how wealthy. If they don't have their heart right with Jesus, you need to allow the Word of God to say, "You know what? It is not the time to enter into that particular relationship." It goes on, "From the flattering tongue of a seductress." This is a person who uses words to try and convince you to do something that you have a hesitancy to get involved in. Okay, I will tell you this. As Christians, we want to believe people. We want to believe that they're telling us the truth. And when they say they have a need, we believe that they have a need. We don't necessarily realize that there are people who have the ability to use words, to play up on our emotions, to get us to do things that they're not going to liberate them. They're not going to deliver those people. They're actually going to damage us. And a person that makes you weaken their knees or weaken your knees just because of the way that they can craft a sentence or the words that they can use to make you feel better about yourself. Can I take just a moment to address parenting here? There are a lot of young people who find themselves extremely vulnerable to the flattery that other people offer into their lives. They find them extremely susceptible to that because of a poor relationship that they have with their parents. they need to have a healthy relationship with their father, with their mother. Okay? And so I have set out my entire life to parent my daughters. I'm going to put it in my daughter's camp here for just a second, to treat them in a manner that if a guy came along and didn't treat her to the same standard of love and empowerment and understanding and compassion that I did, that they wouldn't have anything to do with them. And as a result of that, my daughters don't put up with nonsense. And so one daughter is already, found an Assemblies of God minister's son who loves Jesus, who wants to be actively involved in ministry, who loves her, who treats her well, and they are doing well. My son and daughter-in-law are in the same position. They're actively in ministry. And then my other daughter, she has no problem. She has no problem if a person approaches her and there is a path that he's on that doesn't line up with her path, she has no problem saying bye. And if there's somebody who wouldn't treat her the way that she deserves to be treated, she's got no problem saying bye-bye. You know, she understands that it is extremely important to have a person who is not just going to be able to move you with their words. The only person who has the ability to move us with their words should be Jesus. Okay? And so during the quarantine period, there was something that was posted on Facebook, and my daughter shared it and said, "What are you looking for in a guy?" And the response was, "Jesus." She's looking for a guy who is going to be more in love with Jesus than he is with her, and that they are going to do their best together to bring glory and honor to the Heavenly Father. So I want to just tell you today, if we will cling to the Word of God, if we will walk covenant with it, it's going to speak to us. It's going to lighten our pathway. It is going to provide the direction that we need, and it will deliver us from things that the devil wants to use to destroy us. God bless you. I pray that you go out and have a marvelous, marvelous Tuesday, and you do it all for the glory of Jesus. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you right for here tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above.
praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeemer.